Welcome to Mindful Social, the show that intersects mindfulness and emotional intelligence with the hectic online world we live in today. This week's guest on Mindful Social Business is Jonathan Reynolds, CEO of Mindful Life, Mindful Work, Incorporated, and the founder and host of the Mindful Professionals Network. Since joining this network, I've had some great interactions with Jonathan and members who are practitioners of mindfulness at work or as teachers and coaches from around the world. If you too seek the company of mindfulness practitioners, have a listen to the show and then join us. Welcome, Jonathan. I'm so glad to have you on the show and that you've included me in your network, which has really been fun to watch grow.
It's a pleasure to be here, Janet. Thanks for having me.
Can you tell me a little bit about how you got to this place where you created a professional network for people who are practitioners of mindfulness?
Well, maybe I'll begin at the beginning. And, I really came to mindfulness practice, I think, for similar reasons that many people come, for my own suffering, my own difficulty. I wanted to find a smoother way to live in this world. And so found practice in the early days. It was things like meditation and yoga, and it still is to a certain extent, but it's evolved to other things and other practices, and it's a more integrated practice. But I was really looking for a way, at some point I sort of looked in the mirror and I said, well, if learning how to balance my checkbook and drive a car is all there is to life, I'm going to have a very sad life. And I think a lot of us are sort of taught the logistics of how to live, but just details. And so I was looking for something more qualitative. I was looking, and I grew up in the Midwest, and after college, I was a bartender for a little while, and I saw consciousness go one direction over and over, which was mostly down. And I thought, well, geez, if it's malleable, there's got to be an excellence project available here as well. There's got to be a development in a positive direction. And This is a big part of what brought me to practice. And, you know, I think at any point in a person's development, and this was true of me, is when you feel reasonably competent at something, you sort of look in the mirror again and say, now what? And for me, that now what is sharing it with others, is being together, being in community, whether that community is a family, a company, a town, a world, and how do we want our relationships to be? How do we want to live? So that really gave birth to the Mindful Professionals Network, and to be with like-minded souls that are working on the project of awakening for themselves and systemically.
Thank you for that. It's been interesting to be part of the network and get to know some of the people that are there and see the conversations that people are having. And I'd love to hear a little bit more about who the membership is, who the membership are. We'll just leave that part out.
Well, you know, it's attracted sort of a broad array. I mean, some are service providers, some have their own solopreneurship businesses and offer mindfulness or mindfully informed services. And some are corporate employees. Some are folks that are embedded in larger ecosystems and are looking to make change happen. Most of the people, at least in my experience over the last two decades, in those situations, have sort of had to hold their own sort of mindful practice separate. Now, in the last 5 to 10 years, that's starting to change. They feel a little more emboldened and accepted in integrating that into company cultures. But the network is really built up of all sorts of people. Some have 40 years of mindfulness practice, some have 4 minutes of mindfulness practice. And I think that each one of us, though, has touched sort of what I like to refer to as the one who knows within ourselves. And finds great value in that and wants to share that and wants to integrate that and wants to live from sort of, you know, that best version of ourselves.
That's lovely. And I think, you know, everyone comes to this from where they are, right? Bringing that beginner's mind, meeting people where they are. And, you know, it doesn't matter how long you've practiced, we all have something to learn and also something to teach.
So much easier to have beginner's mind when you're a beginner, and so much harder to have beginner's mind when you think you know what you're doing. And I think that, I mean, it's part of the reason why being around children is so wonderful, is it reminds us that we're children too, and we have the joy of discovery and of not knowing. And of course, as you know, being a long-term practitioner, mindfulness practice helps us be uncomfortable with that not knowing, or I'm sorry, be comfortable with that not knowing in a new way, so we can actually learn from it, and new experiences. So that for me, the community is everything, because otherwise, at the end of life, what did we do? How did we live? What did we create? What sorts of relationships did we touch and nourish? And there's a sphere of influence element as well, like how extensive was our reach?
Yeah, and it's also, we, when we are mindfulness practitioners and when we take this deeply to heart, then it's about taking that forward into the world. And it's great that we can find like minds at some level within the network. But it's also wonderful to me that there's so many people in the network that are really inspiring others to take action. It's not like we're this quiet little group that just sits among and talks amongst ourselves. It's really, we really want to share with the world the value of being present, paying attention, being self-aware and aware of others. And, as we see that happen within the groups and we have these conversations, maybe you can tell us a little bit about some of the meetings that you have in the group. For example, I know there's one coming up in just a little while. Why don't you tell us a little bit more about those?
Well, sort of a few of our foundational events. Our weekly foundational event right now is a mindfulness practice and discussion group that you've attended, and from that we plant little seeds. Again, mindfulness practice as a standalone is ultimately a tool to develop our own awareness, but without actually employing that or moving in an engaged way into the world, it's sort of, I don't know, it can be philosophical almost. And in a not so good way. And so this capacity to bring it out into the world, I think, is really essential. So the mindfulness practice is sort of a foundational piece, for how we relate to others, but also how we act in the world, the good that we can do in the world. And then we also offer quarterly networking events. And those are really a little bit bigger events where people can meet 5 to 20 folks at a time. They're delivered remotely. Almost all of our network activities are delivered remotely. We're starting to experiment with some in-person stuff. But I think those are really important because, again, we need to touch people in different sectors and different areas to sort of expand ourselves and to inform each other. I think one of the cores of the network really is its accessibility and its applicability. And by that, I mean, we all know that when we go into a new environment, we're sort of afraid of not knowing, and we're afraid somebody's going to shame us, and we're going to feel stupid. And so I think we've done a really good job of creating a community where people feel safe psychologically, to not know and to come and to ask questions and to fumble through it. I like to say, for the first 3 years of my mindfulness practice, I pretended to meditate. We also.
No.
Yeah, we all start somewhere, right? You sit on the cushion and you're like, I heard this was good and I'm going to do it. And you touch little bits, it sort of can keep you committed through the whatever the early stage is for a given practitioner. But none of us know when we're starting. And that's actually how all learning happens. You can't go from knowing to more knowing. That's not learning. You go from not knowing to running experiments, and then you gain some knowledge. And so, I think we're a fertile environment for that.
Yeah. I had a conversation with someone who's been practicing mindfulness for a very long time. And she said, some days I just sit down and I sit and I think, why am I doing this? And then I sit for a little bit longer and I come back into focus and realize, oh, that's why. It really is, I think, one of the biggest challenges that I have as a teacher is working with people who say, well, I can't meditate, or I can't focus on my breath. The classic, and I've said it myself long ago, I just have really shallow breathing, so I can't do it. I think we've all had those experiences where we felt that we weren't doing it right, or there was some kind of constriction on how we should do these things. How should we be mindful? And it's not the same for everyone. It can't be.
Yeah, I mean, my practice is different every day and definitely different every year and every decade. You know, I'm in about the 2.5 decade space right now with my own practice. And some days the thing that brings me to the cushion is I have a tight lower back or my hip hurts, and I know sitting for 20 minutes is going to help that. You know, sometimes it's something cognitive, like I read an article that said, oh, mindfulness practice is really good for brain development, even when you don't notice anything. And, you know, sometimes that's the thing that gets me to the cushion. Ultimately, I think it's a sense of gratitude for the benefits that I've had over the years, and that's ultimately the vehicle for sharing as well. Is, you know, I became someone who I wanted to be and am in the world in a way that I want to be that I don't think would have been possible without a daily practice. And there's a lot of gratitude for that. And I don't know how people get through without a daily practice, because for me, it's essential.
It takes time. And I think people don't realize, they think that if they just go to a meditation class and sit down, it's all going to be fine. No, it's not. Because it really, this is a practice. It is work. It's always going to be work. And I think, seeing different people in the network who are working in all different areas of, whether they're just doing a practice in their office and they kind of want to feel like they're in a part of a community, not maybe teaching, maybe they're not, putting it out there because they're feeling a little uncomfortable with that in the office. There have been a lot of great meditation teachers who started out that way by just sitting. And somebody noticed and said, what are you doing?
I think one of the great things that has come from the network and from my years of sort of holding space for this possibility that mindful applications can get integrated into conventional life, is that people come to me and they feel like they have a new permission to do what they knew they wanted to do. And yet no one in their sphere was sort of saying, oh, it's okay. Or maybe they didn't even bring it up. But the moment somebody says, no, this is a valid choice, to live in this way or to work in this way. And I'm doing a lot of outreach for the network. And a lot of the feedback that I get when people are sort of considering is they are in remote places. They don't live in the middle of San Francisco or New York or London or Sydney. They live in the middle of the woods, and it's a way to stay connected and non-isolated, in a way that I think is essential to human beings. We all need time together. We all need time alone, and so it helps in those situations as well.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. And I think we all want to have some sense of a community. And whether you feel that it has to be a formal community or just a cohort of people who think similarly. And certainly, not everyone in this network thinks exactly the same. We all have different facets of who we are and where we work and what we do and the types of meditation or mindfulness that we do. And I think that's crucial because we have a very interesting group of people.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a gem, right? There's facets, and or there's different doorways into a home. And I think that it's let's meet in the home, whatever that is. And you know, mindfulness sort of puts at the fore awareness and development as the home. But however we enter there, however we get there, then we can celebrate that and develop that and discuss that and learn from each other together. I think that's beautifully put, is that you know, people have come to practice for so many different ways and reasons and paths, and there is no ultimately no right way. Each person has to find, you know, which piece of this applies to me or which doesn't sound right, or Yeah, it's and we all grow from having those conversations.
Yes, absolutely. Some of the conversations we've had have been really great. And just, seeing people from different, seeing mindfulness from different perspectives that are just simply not our own is very valuable. So what do you see this network developing into, say, let's say 5 years from now?
You know, it's very interesting. It keeps changing and evolving. And ultimately, that's the growth edge I like to be at in developing anything. I'd much rather be at the fleshy shoot than the bark of the tree, because I find it's more exciting when you don't actually know. It's sort of like watching a Polaroid picture develop. You don't know what it is, and then all of a sudden it snaps into focus, at least in this metaphor momentarily, and then it's out of focus again. You know, it's right now we're seeing that people are really responding to events. And so I think there'll be a strong event component as things evolve. I think as we're discovered, membership will grow significantly. Right now we're around 200. I could see this being between 2 and 10,000 folks. And with that comes a new complexity.
Yes.
But I think that, you know, we could be offering courses and coursework. You know, once you get people that have some commonality together, it's sort of ripe for bringing in guest teachers and things like this. I mean, who knows where this will go? I mean, ultimately, the world of practitioners decides whether this is useful and valuable to them or not. And that's sort of the exciting piece is who will resonate. And every time a new member shows up, it changes the network because it's a different thing when one new person shows up. And so again, I'm sort of excited as much as sort of holding the vision. We don't want the vision to be too rigid either, because you know, we want it to be alive. It's a living document.
Right. Yeah. And opportunities for collaboration as well, and being able to just network with people that otherwise you might not have met. I mean, they're on LinkedIn, the group is quite large and, growing all the time. And they're from all areas and aspects of mindfulness in any different direction you want to come at it from. So that's pretty cool too.
Well, you know, I've made my whole career off of 30-minute phone calls, basically, and I've had about 6,000 of them over the last 15 years, about 7 or 8 a week. And this is just a way to do that collectively. It's a way to say, "Hey, let's all be on a call together and meet each other, and have we all have profiles within the network. So somebody sort of said something that's interesting, you reach out to them, and so this is just a way to." Sort of take that sort of internal practice that I had for myself to grow myself professionally and put it out there and like, let's do this together. This works. And I know other people have done this same model, but there's something about scalability. I think there's something about critical mass that, you know, I sort of named 2 to 10,000, but it could be 100,000. I mean, with how interested the world has become in mindful applications and mindfulness,
Yes.
who knows where this might go?
Yeah. It's really fun to get in on the ground and see how things are growing. And as you said, being at the shoot and being in that startup mode, it's wonderful to see things evolve and change and challenge us and not challenge us. It's a lot of fun. I've always loved startups. So
We're on the ground and we're looking at each other saying, "Where's the elevator? Oh, we need to build one."
Well, why don't you tell people a little bit more about how they can connect with you, how they can connect with the network and learn more so they can get involved?
We're all over social media. Our main hub is LinkedIn. Again, it's the Mindful Professionals with an S network. If you Google that, you'll find us for sure. But LinkedIn's a great place. Our host company is Mindful Life, Mindful Work. The Mindful Professionals Network is a B2C, an individual offering within Mindful Life, Mindful Work. And yeah, and reach out. Don't be a stranger. Again, one of the things I've learned in my life is even people doing interesting things or even exceptional things, they're still just people. You can reach out to anybody on LinkedIn. You can reach out to your heroes. You can reach out to anyone, anyone who creates a barrier. And that doesn't mean that they'll be infinitely available, but it's not up to us to decide. It's up to each person to sort of decide how they respond. So just to put that out there, please reach out, begin a conversation, join the network. It's a very low financial bar of entry. I think we're still offering our early adopters plan, which is, I think, $120 a year. So it's like $12 or $10 a month, if my math is right. And yeah, we'd love to have you as part of the network if you're mindful curious.
I love mindful curious. Well, I will add links in the description on the blog and on the podcast. And again, you know, if you have any questions, feel free to reach out to me, reach out to Jonathan, and we'll share you those links because it's really a fun group to be part of. And I thank you for creating it.
Well, I appreciate your time, Janet. And again, thank you for practicing mindfulness and being such a mindful professional.
Thank you. Thanks for tuning in for another episode of Mindful Social. It's been so great to see the subscriptions growing, and the feedback has really helped me make the show even better. So if you know somebody who needs to be on the show, email me at janet@janetfouts.com. And please, send me feedback there too, or post a review on the podcast platform you're listening on. Oh, and do me a favor, share this show on social media or with a friend. Thank you.